Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, March 26th, and we're back with you as always.
Good morning.
Except for yesterday.
Yeah, apart from yesterday.
Yeah, we're always here except for the days we're not. Yeah. Today started off overcast, you know. It's still kind of cloudy, but the sun's trying to come out, and it's beautiful. They said it may have rained a little bit overnight.
That's what I heard. It was going to rain today. When the clouds are so puffy like this, it reminds me of The Simpsons. That's all I think about when I see puffy clouds. And it looks nothing like The Simpsons. But do you know what I'm saying? The opening of The Simpsons?
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I think about when I see puffy clouds.
Really?
Yeah, it's very strange.
Did you used to be into The Simpsons?
No, I hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
I know, I did too. I remember when it started, there was a TV show by this British actress. What was her name? I'll remember it in a minute. But she had like a comedy show, and that was part of that show. They would have like segments with The Simpsons. So then they spun it off to its own show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't know. The Simpsons and Family Guy, I'm just not into those cartoons.
They're like really weird,
and
right?
And South Park.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not like Bugs Bunny. It's a far cry from that.
And for I don't know, I like comedy that's easy to watch, like Friends, Two and a Half Men, How I Met Your Mother.
I know.
You can join in halfway and still get it.
Right.
Whereas for me, The Simpsons, not The Simpsons, but Family Guy and South Park, I have to concentrate too much to get the jokes. I'm kind of slow when it comes to jokes, so I have to concentrate a lot to get them, and that's just not fun.
Oh, wow. Okay, but her name is Tracy Ullman. It just came back to me. And this was like a long time ago. How long has The Simpsons been on, like 20, 25 years or something?
Yeah, I think it was before I was born.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, before you were born. I guess everything happened before you were born, right? I mean, God, it's like so cool. I mean, are you enjoying your 20s and everything?
I am.
You enjoy being in the
20s? Definitely.
You don't want to be older or younger, right, at this point?
I'm really happy with where I am, and I like being out of college and being independent and doing everything for myself.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just really enjoying it. I love being in LA.
Yeah, this is a time where you really start discovering yourself because you're on your own, maybe for the first time, you know, not in college or anything, but really on your own and trying to figure out who you are, you know, not someone who your parents try to make you to be or your friends. And
definitely. I think after I finished swimming, that was when I truly found myself, found who I was, and moving over to LA. I mean, I didn't know a single soul when I got here.
That's true.
And I've spent a lot of time by myself, which I'm totally fine with. I'm very independent. Right. I like being by myself. Sometimes more than being with other people.
I know. I'm like that too.
But it really helped me just find who I am. And I mean, I love myself, and that's what you have to do to fully enjoy life.
That's true, absolutely. And I'm
happy
for you.
I didn't mean that in
a
weird way, but I just like who I am. I like the person who I am.
No. I mean, that's good. You got to love yourself, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, many people would envy you for saying that. So I think when you're happy, you should announce it to the world, you know, and share your experiences and everything. But you're definitely like at a good time in your life where you get to start building your career. You don't have a lot of baggage, you know, you have a lot to look forward to. And it's an amazing time and yet not a lot of responsibility to other people, you know.
Exactly. Like I have responsibility, but not too much.
Right,
my only
really
responsibility is paying my bills every month.
Yeah, exactly.
So if that's the worst that I have, then
You know, but you don't have to care for babies and
thankfully,
you know, and bring home the bacon for everybody and stuff, you know. So Yeah, so it's a cool time. You know? It's a cool time for you. In fact, you know, I mean, and then on the other hand, me at my age, I'm pretty happy too. You know, I mean, this has got to be some of the best years of my life right now. And I think it's also because, I mean, I do have responsibility, but not so much to like kids and things like that. You know, the kids are grown now and, you know, and I'm not married anymore. So I have a lot of freedom to do whatever I want, you know. And it's what a freeing feeling it is.
Refreshing.
Yes.
Not tied down. And
yeah. Having you know, to I've missed to that. Someone. Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, there's a lot to say for, I don't know necessarily marriage, but for relationships, you know, for spending time or sharing your life with someone. But the question is, first of all, why does it have to be forever? You know, I mean, forever is too long for me. You know, it's like, you know, unless you really feel you can't be without each other, then that's a different question, you know. But other than that, I don't see, you know, I don't know, at least in my experience, I don't see really staying with someone for like 20, 30 years, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's a long time.
I definitely think it's how, it's your feelings about it. And if you don't, to me, I'm kind of a hopeless romantic. I want to find that one and, you know,
and
grow
old
together.
For the rest of their life.
But
yeah.
I definitely think that men especially have a different outlook towards marriage and living with someone happily ever after.
Right.
But a lot of things taint relationships now. I mean, country music for one.
Yeah.
As gay as that sounds, it's so, like, that's just what, country music is so beautiful and, like, the lyrics are so amazing that you think that that's how life is supposed to be, and it's not.
Yeah.
It's not how it's supposed to be.
It's not as bad as they make it out to be or good, right?
Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of things that taint everybody's idea of what the perfect relationship and the perfect life should be, and when in reality it's not as perfect.
Right.
But nothing's perfect. So.
No, and you know, I mean, and it's not, you know, I think most men are okay with long-term relationships, you know. It's obviously, you have a lot of couples that last a long time, so men need companionship too, you know. And so it's difficult to say. I guess it has to do with the period in your life when you're ready for it, you know. And I just feel that there's a lot of different stages in life, and it never ends, you know. So you keep going through your challenges, you keep going through the good and bad times. So it never ends until it's over.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Yeah. So in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in, and we're going to talk about online privacy and security and so forth. I thought it was pretty relevant, so we'll bring that up and stuff. But there's something I wanted to bring up. You know, we're talking about men and women and stuff, and sometimes I'm still trying to figure out women, you know. And so tell me what you make of this. Like the other day, you know, I mean, on Facebook sometimes I'm sure you get approached by men and stuff, and I don't get approaches nearly as much because I'm not a beautiful woman. But nevertheless, sometimes, you know, especially women from overseas and stuff, I don't know, they probably want to come here or something and latch onto a middle-aged man or something. But sometimes you get women that are genuine, you know, they just want to start a friendship or something. But sometimes, like, so this woman, like last week, she's from out of town, and she starts talking to me and everything, and or chatting on Facebook, and you know, and then she starts telling me how much, how much she loves her boyfriend, so I said, well, so she said, I'd like you to meet him and stuff, and I said, why would I want to meet your boyfriend?
Do you know her?
No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, she came out of nowhere. You know, we were friends on Facebook. I guess she just had asked me for a friend request, so I okayed it, you know, for the most part. I just okay them because sometimes you don't know the people that request and stuff. So so I said, okay, you know, and a few minutes later, I'm getting like private message and stuff and all this chat. And we start chatting and I'm like, why do you want me to meet him? And she's, well, he may have a lot of things in common. He's also in radio, blah, blah, blah. And I, And I'm thinking to myself, I told her, you know, I said, when you talk to a guy, the last thing he wants to hear is about your boyfriend or that you want him to meet him. You know, I said, what would your boyfriend think about this? He's okay. You know, I mean, it's okay with friends and stuff. I said, well, okay, so let's be friends, you know. So I'm still trying to figure out what's behind all this. You know, I mean, the thing is that what is she trying to accomplish here? I don't understand.
I feel like she may be trying to make her boyfriend jealous. I don't know. I mean, I think I'm not very good.
But he would know about it. You know, I mean, I think she's just maybe naive or something. Do you think?
I don't know. I mean, if you want to introduce a guy to your boyfriend, I don't know.
Yeah.
And Facebook message. I'm terrible on Facebook message. Yeah. I think just text me, you know? I don't respond that well on Facebook message because I don't really check it.
Right.
I don't know. People.
But when people you don't know, they don't have your phone number, you don't have theirs, so that's the only way to communicate.
I don't usually communicate with people I don't know.
Oh, really?
Not really. I kind of try and, if you know me, I'll talk to you. I don't really mean to get to know you over Facebook message. I don't know. That's personally how I feel. And if I want to talk to you, you have my phone number so you can call me or text me.
Right. But then you're closing yourself up to new friendships and stuff.
That's true. Right? That is true.
But you'd rather meet people in person.
Yeah. And I get so many weird messages that I kind of just don't check them anymore.
Right.
Exactly. I'd rather just not read this.
Yeah. I know. Oh my God. You know, how much time you have to waste just going through all of that?
Exactly.
You know?
Like, I don't have the time to go through all my Facebook messages. So.
Oh, I know, I get maybe two a day or something.
But, Dad, I don't know. Yeah. Especially, where did she live?
Out of town, not too far. I don't want to reveal it and stuff.
Yeah, sorry.
If she listens, she probably knows it's her. But good, then we'll have something to talk about. You know?
Yeah, you'll have something in common. You and her boyfriend are similar.
Yeah, I know. So then I started thinking, well, maybe she's into threesomes and she's looking for another guy or something. You know,
that's
so
a possibility.
Yeah, so I started, but I don't think that's it because she was totally not interested in anything romantic, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, and I didn't suggest anything because I don't, you know, I don't operate that way. I don't steal other men's women. But since she, you know, made an effort and stuff, I just told her, I said, you know, you're beautiful. I wouldn't mind meeting you, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, no way, no way, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, all right.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's not like, you know, but I want to tell you that I'm impressed with you, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so, okay, so fine. So she's like, so let's meet for coffee and stuff. And I'm like, so again, I'm like, what the hell is this, you know? Is she going to tell him? Is she not going to tell him? Yeah, I don't understand, you know. So it's crazy, but, you know, I don't know what to make of it. So
it's definitely a girl thing to do. Mixed signals, I feel like that's what we do. That's what we give off.
Yeah, it's like, I know, my son suffers from that a lot. He shows me all those texts with the girls, and it's like, my God, you know. They really give mixed messages, you know. It's like he'll show me one of them will like pursue him for a few days and then she won't return a text for days, you know. So, and he drives himself crazy over it. I just told him, I said, relax. I said, but you know, that's the thing with the young people today. It's like all the relationships are through texting, you know. It's like there's not a lot of talking on the phone and stuff, you know, or in person.
And everything is misconstrued over a text message. You don't know what tone the other person is giving. And I always think, oh, I'm in trouble. Like, they're mad at me. But really, no.
Yeah.
Just busy and don't have time to write a whole long text.
Yeah. Okay, well, our guest is calling in, so let's go ahead and take this call. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Okay, it's probably the wrong number because I have another call coming in, so let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good morning. It's Mark Weinstein.
Yes, Mark. Good morning. Thank you for calling in. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. I'm having an echo in the background. Are you like on a speakerphone or something?
I'm on a landline.
Oh,
you want me to call back again?
If you can call back again, we'd appreciate it.
Okay. Call you right back.
Bye. Yeah, I'm hearing myself in the background.
That always happens when I call my mom.
Really?
Always. Drives me insane.
Yeah.
It's like, gotta go.
I know.
Into the 20-second conversation.
I know. There's another call coming in, but I can't take that one because we're waiting for our guest. So So, yeah, call back in a few minutes if you're listening. Hopefully it's not another guest that I cross the schedule or something. Wouldn't that be lovely, huh?
Always the way.
Yeah, I
so know. Many on one day.
Yeah. I'm known to do things like that sometimes. What's this? Someone's calling me on the... Oh, I don't know. They called me on my own phone. I thought maybe it's the guest, but it doesn't look like their number.
Popular man.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's calling me, but that's what I don't get. People who are calling me during the show, but I guess they don't know. Not everybody knows that I'm busy doing the show, but it gets distracting, you know?
No, definitely. Yeah. I put my phone in my bag and... Because it's annoying when someone's, like, the phone's constantly flashing. It's like, okay.
Yeah, just leave me alone. Right? You know?
It's like, I'm only away from my phone for 50 minutes. Yeah. Can you not, like, just relax?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that was funny. Okay, here is. Hi, Mark.
Let's try this.
Yeah, I'm still hearing myself in the background. Can I try to call
you? Sure, it's not your line?
I don't know, but, you know, I mean, it's been working fine. Let me try and get another line by me calling you on this number that you just called in.
Sure.
Can we try that? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry about this, guys, but we're trying to establish a connection here, and hopefully it'll work, and we'll be able to talk to Mark.
Okay, it's Mark.
Hi, Mark. Much better.
So much better.
Much better. Great. Thank you. So thank you for joining us this morning, Mark. I'm here with Charlotte. And we have, let me bring up the information on you. So you're an advocate for online privacy and security and so forth. Tell us what that means.
Okay, and Sam, I have a question. Is this live? Is it tape? What are we doing?
No, this is a live show. You're right here on the air right now. You called into the show.
Okay, gotcha. What does that mean? Well, it's a great question, right? Because we're all hearing about privacy today, and we've forgotten what privacy means.
So, completely.
Yeah. Right, and you know we got seduced by the Facebook era when we gave away our privacy in a different way. We just published our lives publicly around the world on Facebook, and now we're dealing with the laundry of that. And then Mr. Snowden came out and said, hey, by the way, the government's spying on all of us. And then what we forgot was that Google and Facebook and Yahoo, you know, and Twitter, all those guys, they're all spying on us anyhow.
Right. They've been doing that for a long time, right? Yeah.
Right, right, yeah. Right. And, you know, we accepted the terms and conditions. Even in our Gmail accounts, you know, Google had a class action suit filed against them last year. And in court, they said, look, our Gmail users don't expect their Gmail to be private. Because in their terms and conditions, if we could ever get to the paragraphs that said, by the way, we look at everything that you write.
Wow.
So the question of what is privacy is such a big one as we take it back, as we begin the process of taking back our privacy that we unknowingly gave up.
Right. Interesting. So, yeah, interesting stuff. I was going to ask you, I'm sorry, usually I like to know where the guests are calling from. Where are you at this morning?
I'm in Silicon Valley. I'm in the heart of Silicon Valley in Mountain View, California.
Oh, wow. Very it's nice. Beautiful there. Yeah. I actually went to the computer museum there, man. I'm a computer geek, you know, and it was amazing there. So
I haven't been. That sounds like a great, you know, day trip as soon as I find some time.
Yeah, that's true. Have you lived there all your life, Mark?
No. I'm a New Yorker, but I am also one of the founders of social networking.
Right.
In 1998, I built one of the first social network companies in the world. We called them community portals in 1998. We were PC Magazine Top 100 company in 99, 2000, 2001. This is the pre MySpace and Facebook era. And then in 2011, we decided to build a new company to help people, you know, have a next generation company that gives them their privacy back in social media.
Right.
So
yeah,
here we are in the heart of Silicon Valley, the David challenging the Goliath.
Yeah, that's true. So wow, so you were ahead of your time, absolutely. I mean, even before MySpace and all that too. What was the website called at the time?
At the time we called them, we had two flagship products, superfamily.com and superfriends.com. Today, the company is scruples.com, and that's S-G-R-O-U-P-L-E-S.com. It's a play on the word to have integrity, to do the right thing.
Right. And so now, so this is actually the same company and the same website from back in 1999?
No, totally different. No. This is a brand new company.
Okay.
In 2011, we saw this privacy issue just being, you know, railroaded with, you know, Mark Zuckerberg said, I quote him directly, privacy is a social norm of the past. And I scratched my head, Sam, and I said, wait a minute, we're Americans. You know, there's a constitution protecting our privacy. The country is founded on democracy and privacy for law-abiding citizens. And technology, which is amoral, has no moral compass, is now taking away our privacy, and that's okay? No, it's not.
Right.
Definitely.
So, but the question mark is, isn't that too late, though? I mean, isn't the genie out of the bottle now, and all our information is already out there?
Sam, it's a great question, and remember that, you know, as Americans, we can't take this lying down. We can't say, it's too late, you know, no, we actually have to take our rights back, because privacy, why was privacy so fundamental to the creation of this country if it's not important? And the answer is that privacy is actually really important. It's important for our creativity, it's important for our genius, it's important for our inner being, our wellness. So privacy is much bigger than a conversation about technology took it away and, oh, well, you know, too bad. Privacy is really fundamental to the health of society and to our being able to be creative and to, you know, everything about it. So this is why, you know, our country is founded on it. It's, you know, when you look at something as simple as Nelson Mandela, when he was in jail, his 5 years of meetings with de Klerk, the then president of South Africa, that nobody knew about. That was private. That was off the record. There was nothing being broadcast about it. There was nothing on social media about it. If those had not been private, there probably would have been a civil war. Instead, they had a peaceful revolution there because these two, you know, counter people got together and figured it out privately. So privacy is really, really important.
Definitely. And I know that when I joined Facebook, I mean, I was probably 15, I would post all these different photos of with my friends, like stupid photos. They really were. When I look back, I'm like, oh my God, why did I upload all of these? But that's what you do when you're younger. You want everyone to see your photos. But then I saw it was an application that my friend's mom had through her business that I thought everything was private. And her business could see every single photo I'd ever posted, whether it was private or not. And I was absolutely mortified that I'd been tricked to believe that everything on my profile that I posted was private wasn't actually private.
Right. That's right. That's right. And today, Facebook doesn't even let you keep your profile private. About 2 months ago, they changed their policy so that any member of Facebook has to have a public profile. And so we want to watch companies like Facebook and Google. Listen, it's, you know, I like these companies, right? Because there are times when I want to be public, maybe four times a year. And Facebook's perfect for that. Let's say I'm in Washington talking to Congress about privacy, as I was last May. Well, I put a picture up there of me, at, you know, that day in Washington. It's my birthday, and I'm racing a car, and I want, you know, everybody to see. I don't care. Great. Mm-hmm. So about four times a year, I might post something at Facebook. But every day, every hour, when I'm communicating with my family, my friends, my coworkers, I want that private. And I don't want any company looking at it. I want to be able to delete it. I don't want any other company owning my content. I want my privacy, and that's what Scruples provides.
Right. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But my question was, you know, if I mean, the thing is this, is that this is really what people don't understand is when you get something for free, it's not really free. You're giving away some information on yourself.
Definitely.
And that's the price of getting a Facebook or the services of Gmail and so forth and Hotmail and all that. So, you know, so I guess by design, it's like, what are you going to do, you know? And then you're bringing up an alternative here called Scruples. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, and let's just talk about it, because it's a myth. We've been fed a myth that if they give us these services for free, they have to spy and scrape data.
Right.
You know, we walk into any store, and the history of business is based on, you know, a restaurant, a store, any merchant providing us with value and not spying on us. You know, when you go to a restaurant, they haven't spied on me at my home to see what's in my refrigerator. No, they need to provide something of value for me that is compelling for me to be there and to be their customer.
Right, but you
so
pay them.
Scruples is free.
Right.
It's a freemium model. And it just changes the model. At Facebook and Google, their members, us, we're not the customer, we're the product. Their customer is the advertiser.
Right.
So that's actually the fundamental disconnect when we're worried about privacy. And we shouldn't. We should just accept the fact that, wait a minute, we're the product over there. So let's go to a company where we're the customer, and that's Scruples.
Right.
So Scruples is you share photos and videos, and you create documents, and you have chat rooms and privacy mail. You do the things you love to do in social media, in your real-life communities, with your friends, your family, your coworkers. And, you know, people, no strangers can see it. No strangers can see who you're connected to. Even if you're in our member search feature, nobody can see who you're connected to or what you're posting.
Right.
So, and you own your content, and you delete it any time. And in our privacy policy, we have a clause that says if we ever change our privacy policy, we will give you an email with the changes and a link to delete your account if you don't like the changes.
Right.
This is all unprecedented.
Yeah, it is. So, it is. And I mean, you proudly display here, read our privacy bill of rights, mm-hmm. you know, so you're being transparent to the users, I guess.
So when you delete right. something off your website, because I know when you delete something off Facebook, Twitter, I mean, it's not deleted. It's somewhere right. in that system. So once something is deleted, it is deleted for good. It can't be tracked anywhere.
You can't get it back. So, you know, it's gone. So that's why, you know, you want to be careful when you delete. Now, remember, if you posted a picture with your friends at Facebook, at Scruples, and, you know, your friends have then, and you've given reshare permission, because we have a very extensive permission model, so you always are in control of the reshare. But if you've given your friends reshare permissions and they've reshared it, then that, you know, picture, that content is now, you know, could have gone somewhere else. We can't control that.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, as long as you control your reshare permissions, our server is deleted. We don't store anything. We're not interested. Your content is yours. We don't make a claim on your content. That's not how we make money.
Right.
You see, that doesn't make sense to us.
Right.
Our job is like any great business in the history of great businesses. Our job is to provide you, our members, with things of value that will enhance your experience to make your life better. So, you know, in our advertising model, you pick your ad. That's the only way we know what ad to give you. We're not spying on you so that here's an ad, you know, because we know you just looked for an airplane ticket to Bermuda, so we start throwing airplane ticket ads at you. We don't do that.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing, and that's the scary thing. And sometimes I post about it on Facebook, too. It's like you'll go to a website, and a second later on Facebook, that same site is advertising to you.
Yeah, and you know? Sites like it.
Right.
Right, right. Well, that's because Facebook cookies tracks you when you're outside of Facebook also.
Yeah.
People don't realize this, but the Facebook cookie is tracking you as you, you know, surf around the web, along with a handful of other cookies that are tracking you. And so as soon as you, you know, you buy something, you know, at Chico's or you know, you go to, you know, American Airlines and buy it, you look for an airline ticket then, now you're back at Facebook and all those ads are popping up. Or if you're in Gmail and you're writing a note to your friend, you know, I need to get some, you know, dog food on the way home. Well,
right.
you know, 10 seconds, you've got a PetSmart ad right there.
God, yeah. I know. It, like, totally is related to what you write in your email, you know, on Google. And
yeah,
scary. You're right. It very is scary. So you're providing sort of like a protected closed community. I would imagine probably Google can't get to your content and stuff, right? Like
no,
Twitter.
Of course not. In fact, you're not. You know, when you're inside Scruples, Google can't see anything that you're doing. Nobody can see anything that we're doing.
Right.
We have, you know, a session. Cookie on you, which just validates that you are who you are, so that when you log in, and that's it. We don't have any tracking mechanism whatsoever that's not built into our system.
Right.
So, you know, it's just not there. And, you know, our Privacy Bill of Rights states things like, you know, one of my favorite clauses in our Privacy Bill of Rights is, your face is your business. We do not use facial recognition technology.
Yeah.
So we're not tagging your photos. We're not doing any of that creepy stuff. If you want to tag your photos, you can, but we're not doing any of it. We're not looking at it. We're not spying on your contact list. They're your friends. They're not ours.
Right, right. Well, I can definitely see the business model here. Very clever. And, you know, I mean, the thing is, excuse me, you're providing an alternative, you know.
So right. you add your friends?
Yeah, you invite your friends over, you know, either through your address books, through email. You can invite people from LinkedIn over, and soon we'll have a member link. So you'll have a link you can even post to your Facebook wall and say, hey, everybody, click on this link and come join me at Scruples.
Okay.
And then people will make a request to be your contact. We also call your friends contacts at Scruples because, you know, we might have 1,000 contacts today in real life, but we don't have 1,000 friends.
That's
so true. We don't want to dumb down the word friend.
Yeah. Okay, well, Mark Weinstein, very interesting stuff. I mean, we could talk for hours, but I think
it's such a big topic.
Yeah, definitely. But I think we got the gist of it and we covered the main thing. Everybody go out and check out Scruples. Go ahead and spell it for us again, Mark.
Yeah, it's Scruples.com. It's Scruples with the word group in the middle.
Right.
And come on over and practice safe sharing and have fun. You know, the web is great for communication. It's just time for us to do it, you know, while we're protecting our privacy.
You're so right.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for enlightening us this morning, Mark. And all the best to you. If people want to get a hold of you, do you have any website or organization that people can contact you directly if they want to?
People can contact me at, you know, mark@scruples.com, mark@scruples.com, scruples.com. They can follow me on Twitter at Mark Weinstein, markweinstein. You can read my Huffington Post columns, huffingtonpost.com/Mark, mark-weinstein, weinstein.
Sounds
awesome.
Good. Okay, Mark, thank you so much, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Take
care.
Bye-bye.
Wow. That other call has been calling for 15 minutes. Now I'm sure I cross-scheduled somebody. My God, what have I done? Please call back. We'll talk to you now.
Privacy is such a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't realize, I mean, when I saw at the time I saw my friend's mom's application that all these businesses had, this was the time when I was about to move. Well, I actually thought I was going to stay in Florida and get a job. And I saw all my photos. It was from, like, sleepovers and stupid things when I was 15 years old that I thought were completely private. No one could see. I was absolutely mortified. Now I've deleted them.
Yeah.
Just the way I look. I look so much different when I was 15. But who knows, Who knows where they are? And it's scary to think. But now, I mean, I'm a lot smarter about my social media. It's kind of my job to keep up with everything on social media.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's scary to think about privacy settings and knowing that nothing's private.
Right.
Nothing.
That's the thing, you know. I mean, the thing is you can go online. There's, like, millions of websites to track down people.
Oh, completely.
You know, and you can find out everything you want about them. So everything is public record now. Everything is this. Then think about it also. Everywhere you go, there are cameras now, you know. So, you know, where it used to be you could make out in the back seat and all that stuff. Now people can see all that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it really is. It's
And you can't get away with anything, you know. So, which is a good thing, you know, as far as fighting crime and stuff. But at the same time, we really, it's like, I feel it's becoming like a brave new world where it's going to be like those science fiction movies, you know?
Definitely. I mean, I even heard that when you type in certain words on your mobile phone, that it sparks an alarm somewhere. Who knows where?
Really?
But so the government, I mean, certain words like shoot.
Right.
And I mean, I say shoot regularly because it's like a photo shoot or a video shoot, you know? So I'd be like, oh, I'm going to a shoot.
Yeah.
And who knows where that's popping up and sparking alarms. Like, just because I'm going for a modeling, you know?
Yeah.
A modeling job. So it's crazy that, I mean, it's a good thing in some ways because, I mean, that's definitely a positive that when the word shoot comes up, but obviously it's not really sparking too many alarms because there's still so many things going on.
Right. No, obviously, plus you're one of 350 million, you
exactly.
know? I mean, what the thing, what are they going to do? You know, follow every phone call? I don't think so. But if you had, you know, maybe, I don't know, instructions how to build a bomb or something.
But, and speaking of government, I read, because we followed the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 for a long time now. I posted an article on my Facebook because, I mean, I was just in shock when I read this article talking about all the different pointers of the story when the plane had traveled for 5 hours after, what is it, the transmission was turned off. It was not, is it the transmission?
Transponder
was turned off. And all of these pointers that have been forgotten now that suddenly the plane was found and everyone's dead.
Right.
And this article is basically saying that it's a government cover-up.
Really?
That the plane has landed somewhere. Who knows if the people are alive or dead? We're not sure. Or the article person isn't sure whether they're going to be held as
hostages
for
ransom.
But I mean, this article is so interesting because the plane continued broadcasting data 4 to 7 hours after it was turned off. There's no evidence the flight crashed in the Indian Ocean. Because if the plane had crashed into the water that hard, the plane would have been smashed completely. But you would have been able to see
pieces
things like
it?
The seats would have been floating above the water. And none of this has come out that all they found is... Well, what have they found? We haven't even really been told.
Right. Well, now they're saying the satellite spots 122 objects in the ocean, you know. So this is the latest. And they're saying some pieces are like as long as 75 feet. So it sounds like a plane or something. But I don't know. I had CNN on all day, like I do every day, so I get glances and stuff and snippets from it. But it seemed like the families are really furious, and I think they agree with what you're saying, that maybe there's a cover-up or something, and, you know, why aren't they being informed and all that?
Definitely. Because, I mean, all they got really told was all lives have been lost.
Right.
At the start, And it's like, how can you just end this?
Right.
This has been going on for 2 weeks. How can you just end it with all lives have been lost?
Yeah, it's not a good enough answer for
No.
them, huh?
And I mean, you can find the article on my Facebook, or it's www.naturalnews.com.
Okay.
And it's just so interesting reading every single point because there's so much more to this than we know. Like I said, this has been going on for 2 weeks and suddenly the answer is the plane crashed and everyone died.
Right.
It just seems so fishy.
Right.
And like so many other things could have gone on.
Yeah. No, you're making a point there, you know, and I think, you know, I can't say whether there was cover up or not, but it, obviously a lot of people do think there was one. So we'll see, you know, what the Malaysian government is up to.
Yeah, because they're saying that the plane was taken back to Malaysia to turn it into a weapon. And I don't know. This is probably, it is speculation, and I don't know what I believe. But I do think that there's too much uncertainty that hasn't been answered that the media has kind of asked us to forget about.
Yeah.
That it's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. But I think the media, like, is over-involved with this, too, you know? I mean, there's been criticism about CNN, like, focusing on one story for 2 weeks. But I guess, you know, you do what you have to do to stay on the air.
But that's true, because it has taken completely over. But when something like this happens, you have to pay attention because it's such a big thing, like a plane just going missing.
Right.
I still can't really get my head around that. Even when I say it, I'm like, a plane went missing? But also, it just came out that when Paul Walker died, it has been rolled down to unsafe speed.
So they were going fast.
Yeah, which we kind of, I assumed it was, but they were going 93 over 93 miles an hour.
And that's not on a freeway either, right? That was like on the street.
Yeah, it was in a 45 mile an hour speed limit.
Wow.
Zone. So, I mean, going 50 miles over the speed limit, it just raises awareness of what was he doing?
Yeah. Well, yeah, there were, but that's the thing is like you would normally think there's drugs or alcohol or something, but they're saying there wasn't any, you know? They're saying not even a mechanical failure.
Yeah.
So it was speed, and I'm just surprised, you know? I mean, this guy was 40 years old. What are you guys doing, you know, doing this kind of stuff, you know? His friend is 38 or was 38. You know, I mean, what's the point, you know? I mean, what are you trying to prove? It's like you have a fast car. You've already proved yourself, you know? I mean, you're a big star, blah, blah, blah. You know, what's the point? But people do crazy things, you know? And I can totally picture what they had in the car. It's like, yeah, let's step on it and see what we can do, you know?
I can only imagine. I mean, the adrenaline must have been insane. When I go, like, 85 miles an hour on the highway, I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
So going, and that's on a straight road.
And that's
road.
On the freeway,
exactly.
Yeah.
So going 95 plus miles an hour on a windy road, oh my goodness, like, that's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's asking to die, you know?
Yeah, and it's such a sad story. And the fact that, I mean, his most famous movies were Fast and Furious.
Right, yeah.
It's just... That's ironic.
Yeah. The funny thing is I'd never heard of him before he died, but I guess he was pretty known from these movies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's too bad. What a loss.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I wanted to bring this up because this is cool. I guess, and I don't remember this because this happened 27 years ago, this baby was left at a Burger King. And by her mother. So she was called the Burger King baby, I guess, at the time, and abandoned in the restroom, you know.
Where was this located?
This was in...
I think I remember this story.
Pennsylvania, in Allentown.
Oh, maybe I don't.
Yeah. It's 27 years. Come on. Oh, I don't remember it.
Oh, okay.
You wouldn't remember. Unless it's in the history books, you know. But at any rate, she grew up and everything, 27 years old, and she started looking for her birth mother, you know. And I guess she was only hours old when she was abandoned, so it's not like she lived anything, you know. And so she started looking for her mother on Facebook. And believe it or not, she found her.
That is the very positive thing about Facebook and social media.
I mean, it's amazing. You know, how do you find someone like that? You know,
definitely.
I can tell you, I'm looking for some friends that I had that did not abandon me. Friends, you know. And I mean, because maybe the abandoning mother wouldn't be found, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, I have friends that I'm trying to track down from 20 years ago or 30 years ago, and I can't find them anywhere on the internet. So so it's not that easy, you know? And sometimes don't you wonder of the people that you used to know that you don't talk to anymore, how many of them have died already, you know? And maybe that's why you can't find them. Sometimes I think about that.
I think maybe because of my age, I am friends with a lot of people on Facebook that I grew up with, especially the people that... I cared about and knew, well, maybe not cared about as much, but I knew them.
Right.
So I am friends with a lot of people on Facebook. So it is kind of, but it's cool to see what they're doing. And especially being in LA, I've got a lot of messages from people that like, wow, it's really cool that we grew up together in Sheffield in England, like weird part, you know, a random part of England, and now you're living in LA working in Hollywood.
Right.
To them, it seems so glamorous, which it's not, but but it's
all relative.
It's,
you know,
very cool. I don't know. That's the thing I do like about Facebook. You can keep up with everyone. I think Facebook is such a big empire now that's the only downside to Scruples and new social media sites, that everyone's built kind of their like presence. Exactly. And their Facebook identity. Right. They have the people that they want to connect with and they want to see everything. Yeah, privacy might not be what we would want, but I think everyone's kind of learned not to share all of the things that they don't want everyone to see.
No, absolutely. You know, and what I think is sometimes, you know, when you post or you're on Facebook and you just feel, okay, I'm just posting this to a couple of my friends or something, you know, maybe 20 people will see it. And then you have people coming to you who you haven't talked to in a long time that you don't even think about. It's like, oh, I like your Facebook stuff. I always like what you post and stuff. And I go, wow, you actually read my thing.
You read it?
So there's like thousands of people reading your stuff and you don't even realize it, you know. Just like when we do the radio show here and it seems like we're the only ones here. Mm-hmm. And yet you have, you know, like tens of thousands of people listening.
Yeah.
And you don't know what the hell's going on, you know.
Definitely.
So
that's one thing I like about the Facebook page. I mean, I posted something this morning and I can see that 40 people saw the post.
Really?
Which is nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I want to get this out to more people, but I can see how many people the photo or the post has been reached out to.
Right.
So that's what I kind of like about the Facebook page.
Yeah.
You have no idea on actual Facebook. I only have a certain amount of likes on my page where I have a lot more friends on my actual Facebook, my personal Facebook. So
Because it's more personal. So it's easier to get friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, just to finish the story, so I guess the mother, she found her, the biological mother, and they met. You know,
wow.
The mother wants to stay anonymous and stuff, but I guess at the same time. You know, the woman who's now 27 said that, you know, she's not mad or anything. I just want to find out about it. So apparently what happened is the attorney for the mother, she was raped while traveling in another country and became pregnant. So then she was able to keep the pregnancy from her parents secret. But she obviously couldn't care for the baby. Now, you know, and this is not the first time you hear of things like this, you know. How can people, like, not see when someone's pregnant?
Yeah, I don't understand that. Maybe she didn't see her parents for a while. I don't know, because you can tell when someone's pregnant. I never understand that the show, I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant, or whatever that show is.
Yeah.
I'm like, how did you not know you were pregnant? Did you, like, you didn't have your period for 9 months? Did you not realize?
Right.
Like, you're craving food. You're putting on weight. How do you not know?
Yeah, like, how do you not know? I know. All right. Well, this is it for today. Tomorrow is Thursday, right? We have a guest in the studio. And it should be a fun rest of the week. And that's it. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.